Good morning. It's good to see everyone out this morning. I really miss the singing all the time. Back at Florida College, we sing like literally every day, and it's something that you do. The more you do, the more you love and you enjoy it, and you can't wait to get it. And so, I want to thank you for lifting your voices and beautiful songs and. And it's so encouraging to me, and it's so uplifting to me. And hopefully it's been for you. I see some of our members who are not here. There's a bunch of people traveling July 4th weekend. That's where Andy Cantrell and Rick Laney are. They're spending time with family right now. But I'm excited to see that all those holes are filled by visitors, and we're happy that you're here. We're pleased that you're here. And we offer any help that we can have. If you have any questions or anything that we can help you with, feel free to ask me or one of the elders here. They'd be happy to answer any questions that you have. But we're really pleased and thankful that you're here today. This morning I want to talk to you about Joseph. About a week ago I was in Starbucks. That's where I usually do my studying. And I was reading through, I just wanted to read through the book of Joseph, or the story of Joseph, beginning to end. And I haven't done that for a very long time, many years. I just read the whole story. And when I did, it's a lengthy story. It really touched me, and it really, really moved me a lot. A lot of times often we think of these characters in the Bible as just, you know, characters. They're people in history and time. But they are actually people. People who, with very real emotions, very real circumstances, went through a lot of hard things. And so this morning, if you want to follow along, it'll be Genesis chapter 37, I believe, to the end of the book of Genesis, to chapter 50. But I simply want to tell you the story of Joseph. Show you this great life that God has recorded for us. And then end with some points at the end. But I want you to just listen. And as you listen, put yourself in Joseph's situation. What you would be feeling, what you would be thinking, what you'd be going through. And so I want to tell you the story of Joseph. From slave to savior of the people. The story of Joseph really starts with Jacob. Jacob, who is Joseph's father. Jacob had two wives and two concubines. His two wives were Leah and Rachel, and his two concubines were Bilhah and Zilpha. And he had, and he blessed Leah with six sons. And he blessed Bilhah and Zilpah with two sons each. And their names were Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, and Zebulun. And between those three women, he had 10 sons. But God had made Rachel barren because Rachel was Jacob's favorite wife. But through prayer and Rachel praying, he let Rachel have a son named Joseph. And Jacob loved Joseph. Like, he loved him. It was his oldest from his favorite wife. Don't get into that. But it's from his wife, and it was the kid of his youth. And he loved Joseph. And he had a second son by Rachel named Benjamin. But while Benjamin was born, Rachel died in the childbearing process. And so Jacob only had these two sons to remember Rachel by. Joseph, who is the eldest, and Benjamin. And it says that he loved Joseph more than any of his other brothers. And because he loved him so much, that he gave him a coat. He gave him a coat of many colors. As we heard here in stories growing up sometimes. Gave him a coat of many colors. The Septuagint says a coat of long sleeves. Whatever it is, it's something that set him apart, something that's very valuable, that showed his love for Joseph. But his brothers didn't like that. See, children like to be loved by their father and their parents. And they hated that Joseph was loved by their father more than they were. So they hated Joseph. They hated him. And to make only matters worse, Joseph had a couple dreams. And in the first dream, he had 11 sheaves bowing down to him. Sheaves are just like piles of grain that were tied up. And they were all bowing down to Joseph, meaning, and the interpretation is that his 11 brothers would bow down to him. Then he had a second dream where 11 stars and the sun and the moon all bowed to him. And Joseph's brothers hated him even more. They hated him. They hated him for thinking that they, who are the older ones, would bow down to him. If you were oldest child in your family, you probably relate a little bit. You don't like when the younger ones are taller than you or better looking than you or whatever. And so they became very, very jealous of him. And that anger and that jealousy and that disappointment for their father not loving them as much as Joseph built up slowly and slowly. Until one day, they were feeding their sheep in Dothan. And Jacob, like as he did sometimes, sent Joseph to go see how they were doing, inquire how they were doing. And as Joseph was riding along, the brothers saw him from afar. They saw him from way away. And they said, "Here comes the dreamer. Here comes that man who is loved by our father." And they conspired to kill him and put it into his dreams. But Reuben, the oldest one, maybe feeling a little bit more responsible, said, "No, let's just throw him in a pit for now. Let's just throw him in a pit." So they took him. They stripped him of his coat. They took him away, and they put him in a pit, and then they sat down for lunch. And as they were sitting down for lunch, some Ishmaelites came by, and they saw that they were heading down to Egypt to sell stuff, sell some goods. And being good businessmen as they were saying, we should at least get something out, Joseph. I mean, if we kill him, we get absolutely nothing. So they sold their very own brother to the Ishmaelites as a slave for 20 pieces of silver. And Joseph went into bondage to Egypt. And they took Joseph's coat, many colors, and they ripped it up, and killed a goat, and they put goat's blood all over it. And they made sure that it was that it looked like death had happened. And Joseph's and they took that coat to Jacob. And he said, "Do you recognize this coat? We found it in the wilderness." And Jacob cried, "It's my son. My son's been killed by a wild beast. It's strewn everywhere." And he cried for days and days without end. And not his children, not his wife, no one could comfort him. For he had lost his oldest son. And he was so distraught. I wonder what those brothers were thinking. Their great plan that they had to get rid of their brother. And day after day, they hear their father's cry. His son has been lost. He will go to torment with Sheol. But I also wonder what Joseph would have thought. Joseph, you know, it's about a 4 to 6 week journey to Egypt. And I wonder what he was thinking during that time. In the first couple of years under Potiphar's house, when he was in Potiphar's house. And at first he's got to be thinking, well, my father, he loves me, he gave me a coat. obviously he'll come for me. He'll stop at no ends of the earth to find me. He will come. But as days turn to weeks, turn to 2 weeks, turn to a month, turn to 2 months, maybe doubts start to creep up in Joseph's mind. Now, where is he? Where's my father? He said he loved me. Why isn't he here? Why isn't he saving me? Does he really love me? Did he ever love me? Do you just think, well, I have Benjamin and 10 other sons. That's good. I mean, what's one, losing one when you have 11 others? Does he really love me? And that maybe hope will turn into bitterness and anger. And you got to think about Joseph's position, you know, thinking about his brothers. I mean, these are his brothers. Maybe they didn't get along all the time. Maybe they didn't speak peacefully to one another. But they're flesh and blood. You would think that, you know, they wouldn't sell him. They wouldn't sell him to Egypt. I think maybe that it's very hard to forgive, and that could easily turn to bitterness. But instead, Joseph strengthened himself in the Lord. And if you look, and Joseph was sold to Potiphar, and if you look at the first few verses of chapter 39, in verse 2 it says the Lord was with him. In verse 3 it says the Lord was with him. In verse 5 it says the Lord blessed him. The Lord was with him because Joseph was with the Lord. And he did his best
to live a pleasing life to God, to do what is best.
And Potiphar took recognition of him, of his hard work and his discipline. And he made him as the head of all his house. A very high position. And so Joseph may be thinking, well, maybe I can make a life for myself here. Maybe my brothers and my family have rejected me, but I can make a life for myself here. And God has blessed me here. But there is one problem in Potiphar's house. That is Mrs. Potter. Mrs. Potiphar had also looked at Joseph and saw that he was handsome and that he's well-pleasing to the eyes. And she wanted him. Wanted him to commit sexual fornication with her. And day after day after day after day, she made advances on him. Says, come lie with me. Come lie with me. Come lie with me. And Joseph said, no, I can't do this. I can't do this against God. And notice that he said against God. He didn't say against, I could lose my head, I could lose my job. Mr. Potiphar would not like that. He said, I can't do this against God. I love God so much, I can't do it. So day after day, she pleaded with him to come lie. And that temptation was always there. Till one day, she sent all the servants out of the house. And he came in for his morning work. And it was only Miss Potiphar there. She said, come lie with me. No one will know. Just come lie with me. And he fled. He ran. So fast that he left his garment behind. And you would think, you know, Joseph should be rewarded for his righteousness. It was a very hard position to be in, but he was rewarded. He should be rewarded. But instead of being rewarded, Miss Potiphar accuses him of rape. Mr. Potiphar puts him in prison. He's put in prison. And you got to be thinking, Joseph's been thinking, I did what was right. I lived a faithful life to you. I did what was best to you, God. Why am I taken from my house and where I was and uprooted again? This is the second time. The first time I lost my family and I was put in a place where I knew no one. I didn't even know the language. And now when I finally make a life for myself, I'm yanked from it again. You know, what's going on, God? But God had a plan. And if you notice in verse 21, it says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love
and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. That through all this, the Lord still had steadfast love for Joseph. He was with him no matter what. And so Joseph is there for a while, and then he's taking care of the prison. He's upkeeping it. He's put in charge of all the prison. Even in prison, he was blessed because of his righteousness towards God, and God blessed him. And then one day, two prisoners come in. The baker and the cupbearer for the Pharaoh. And he noticed in one of his runs that they were kind of sad. They were kind of distraught. And he asked them, inquires of them, what's wrong? Why are you so distraught? And then he said, we had two dreams. We had dreams. And he says, tell me the dreams, and God can, through me, interpret them. And the cupbearer says, I was in this dream. There was three grapevines, and I squeezed the grape and put it in the Pharaoh's cup, and I gave it to Pharaoh. And Joseph said, great news! In 3 days' time, Pharaoh will release you from your bondage, and you will be restored to your position again. And then the baker, hearing the good news that the cupbearer got, he said, I also had a dream. I had three baskets of bread on my head. And the birds came down and pecked the bread until it was all gone. And Joseph says, I'm sorry, but in 3 days you will hang. You will hang. And the birds of the air and the ravens will pick your flesh off. And in 3 days' time, all that Joseph said came true. The baker was hanged for his actions, and the Pharaoh restored the cupbearer to his actions. But before they left, Joseph says, in 3 days' time, when you're next to the Pharaoh, when you're right there and you have the Pharaoh's ear, remember me, because I was put in here unjustly. I was accused of something I didn't do. I'm just a Hebrew slave. He says, remember me. But the cupbearer didn't remember him. He didn't remember him until 2 years later. When the Pharaoh had a dream, he had this dream where there was this dream of, he had two sets of dreams. One was that these cows, these fat and plentiful cows, seven of them came out of the river, the Nile River, and they were fat and juicy. And then seven skinny, icky-looking cows came out and ate the fat cows, but they were not filled. And then the second dream was all similar to the first. It said there were seven big ears of corn, huge, juicy ears of corn. Then there's seven ill-looking ears of corn, and they ate the fat ones, but did not get filled. And Pharaoh brought all his magi and all his healers and magicians into the courtroom, but they could not decipher what the dream meant. But the cupbearer remembered. There's this one Hebrew slave who could interpret our dreams, and everything he said came true. And so Pharaoh said, "Send for him," and he tells Joseph the dreams. And Joseph says, "I can't interpret your dreams, but my God can." And he interpreted the dream. Says your two dreams are one. So the seven fat calves, the seven good years of corn, are the seven good years. You'll have seven good great years where Egypt will see a harvest and plentiful food forever. But then 7 years of misfortune and a lack of harvest and famine will come. And it'll be greater than 7 years of plenty. And Joseph told Pharaoh, he says, you need to appoint a wise man, somebody who has stored one-fifth of the plentiful years, the 7 years, so that they would have food for the 7 years of famine. And Pharaoh said, who else is wise but you, Joseph? And he made him second command in all of Egypt and appointed him over everything. Only he was above Joseph. And the 7 years came just as Joseph predicted. It was great. It was a great time. He got himself a wife, and he had two wonderful sons, and the name of his sons were Manasseh and Ephraim. And it said that Manasseh, he called Manasseh, Manasseh, in verse 51 of chapter 41. Joseph called the name of firstborn Manasseh, for he said, God has made me forget all my hardships in all my father's house. That God has blessed me so much that he's made me forget all of what had happened before. And then verse 52, the name of the second he called Ephraim, for God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. So I was afflicted, I was a slave, I was treated righteously, but God has made me fruitful. He brought me up to a level I never thought was possible. I bet Joseph never thought he could be second in command in all of Egypt. But God did that. And if the story ended right here, I mean, that would make a wonderful story. It ends somebody who came from a slave to the highest position he is. Somebody who was rejected by his family, but became second man to all of Egypt. What a wonderful story. But it didn't end there. See, the famine didn't just affect Egypt. It also affected Canaan, where his family lived. And slowly their stores became thrown out, and they heard that there was food in Egypt. So they went down to Egypt. And they were had to come before Joseph, because he's the one to distribute the food. And said, hey, we come from Canaan, we need to buy food. Not knowing who Joseph was. They didn't recognize him in all his Egyptian makeup and clothing. But Joseph recognized them. Said, these are the brothers. These are the brothers who threw me in the pit. And he accused them. He says, y'all are spies. You are spies. He says, no. The brothers said, we are all of one father. There's 11 of us. One is back home and one is no more. Meaning Joseph. And he says, okay, I'll give you food, Joseph said. But just to make sure your testimony is true. You bring back your one brother. And until you come back, Simeon stays here with me. So they take their food back to Canaan. And they, on the way back, they're throwing with themselves. And they say, God is disciplining us for what we've done to Joseph all those years ago. It's been 20 years since they've done that to Joseph. But that guilt's been on their head. All those nights of hearing the father crying over the son had gotten to him. And that guilt was just hanging over him. And so they go home and bring the grain, but that grain doesn't last long. Eventually they run out and they have to come back. And Jacob does not want them to take Benjamin at all. He's already lost one son. All he has of Rachel remaining is Benjamin. It's all he has. But he knows if he doesn't allow Benjamin to go, they'll all die of starvation. So eventually he concedes. And they go to Egypt, they come before Joseph, and he sees them, and he sees Benjamin, and he just breaks down in tears. This is flesh of his own flesh, his full brother he's seen. And he just breaks down in tears, and he has to go into another room to cover it. And he throws a grand feast. And there's a great celebration. The brothers are feeling pretty happy about themselves. But Joseph gives a command when they fill the grain up again to take back to their families. Put my cup in Benjamin's sack. And then go after him when they start leaving the city. So the brothers start leaving the city, and they must be feeling pretty good themselves. Like they got their food, they got Simeon back, and Benjamin's still safe. But as they go out, soldiers come out and get them. And say, why have you repaid evil for good? Why did you steal the master's cup? And then they said, no, we have not stolen the master's cup. We have not done such a thing. And they go through the sacks one by one, starting with the oldest going to the youngest. When they get to Benjamin's sack, they find the cup in there. And the brothers weep and they tear their clothes and then they're heartbroken. And they come before Joseph and says, y'all are free to go. I will not discipline the ones who have not committed this sin. But Benjamin stays here with me as my servant. But they said, no. Judah stands up and says, take me instead. Take me. If Benjamin is taken away from our father will die because he was so sorrowful the first one. And Joseph's so overcome with emotion, he just breaks down. He sends all the Egyptians out. It's just him and his brothers. He says, I am Joseph. I'm the one that you sent to Egypt, that you sold into slavery. What you meant for evil, God's turned into good. And they were shocked. They were afraid. But he said, no, no. What you intended for evil, God's made for good. He's made me second in command. And that's all happened because of what you did to me. It was all for God's purpose. And there was great crying and rejoicing. And Joseph asked, does my father still live? And they say, yes. And he says, go to your families, bring your children, bring my father back. And I'll give you the land of Goshen in Egypt and I'll feed you, for there's still 5 more years of famine left. And so they bring their families to Egypt and they live in the land of Goshen. And Joseph takes care of his father for 17 more years. And Jacob says, when the brothers come to Jacob and say all the things that Joseph has accomplished in Egypt, he says, it's just enough that I see my son again before I die. It's enough that I just see his face. And Joseph takes care of Jacob for 17 years, just like Jacob took care of Joseph for 17 years. And Jacob is surrounded by his 12 sons, both sons, one that he thought was dead when he dies. When he finally passes away, he sees his grandchildren that he never thought he would see from his lost son. Story of Joseph. Joseph dies at a ripe old age. He's rejected, but became slave to savior of the Egyptian nation. I just want to make 3 quick overviewing kind of points from the story of Joseph. 1, God uses the humble. Back at the beginning of the story, when Joseph was 17, he was in no position to run an Egyptian government. He was in no position of a savior, somebody who God could work through. He was kind of arrogant in a way. He wasn't that peaceable. He was very spoiled. But God, through the trials in his life, through Potiphar's house, through the prison, all the way up, was training him to rely on God more dependently and to be his guy. And through that, it made him humble. And because he was humble and relied on God, God gave him grace. And he made him the second in command. And that kind of transitions to my second point. Through here, you can't help but see the providence of God. His brothers happened to see Ishmael traders coming down, and it happened to sell them. And then he's happened to go into Potiphar's house, and then he happens to do very well there. And then Potiphar's wife happens to accuse him of something he didn't do, which he happens to go to prison, the king's prison, the Pharaoh's prison, where it happens that the cupbearer was there, and it happened that he interpreted his dream. And it happened that the cupbearer didn't even remember that he did it until 2 years later. Because if he had remembered right away, he would have just been set free, and that would have been the end of the story. But because he forgot for 2 years, and he happened to forget for 2 years, He was in the right place, the right time, when he needed to interpret the story, the dream for Pharaoh, so that he could become second command. It all just happened, and his brothers happened to have to come down to Egypt to buy food. It's just like a series of coincidences that happened, that you see, but it's God working through Joseph's life. And if you look in your own life, I believe that you can see God working in your own life too. I know he can't be me. I never thought 2 or 3 years ago I'd be in Minnesota. I never would have thought that. I'm a kid from Arkansas. Like, the number of thoughts growing up about Minnesota could be counted on one hand. But it just happened that we were at a little town country church for a summer 2 summers ago. And it happened that the preacher had to go take care of his mom in Alabama. And it happened that he left me to preach there. And it happened that I went to Florida College where I was under great minds and leadership, and I fell in love with the Bible. And it happened that my aunt was in Alabama, and I had a great opportunity to be in an internship there. And it happened that my parents go to church with Rick Lanning's sister. And it happened that Andy Cantrell trained at the church I went to when I was younger. It just kind of happened. And all those happenstances led to me being here in the middle of Minneapolis, Minnesota, preaching to you all today. Now, you see that as coincidences. It may be. But I see that God working in my life. And if you look back in your life, I'm pretty sure that if you're working your will and you're trying the best that you can to do His will, you see God working through your life. And where you end up, I don't know. You don't know. Joseph didn't know where he was going to end up. But I believe and I have faith that if we trust in God and we trust in His providence, He will take us to a place that we never thought we could accomplish, believing in His word. And you see the providence of God working through Joseph's life. He can work through your life as well. The final point is, you can't help but see Jesus in the story of Joseph. Just think about it. A beloved son sent away from his father. He is prophesied a great ruler, rejected by his own people, sold by one of his 12 for 30 pieces of silver. But through the evil of man, through the hate and jealousy of man, a Savior was born and saved the entire earth, and God used it to save all mankind. That's the story of Joseph. That's the story of Jesus. And that's the story that He offers you today. I don't know where God has planned for you. I don't know what His vision is for you, His dream is for you. But I do know if you follow His will and you are faithful to His commandments, then God will put you in a place that you never thought you could be. And that starts through His Son. That starts through accepting Christ as your Savior and accepting Him as the giver of your life. And being baptized and washing your sins for the forgiveness of your sins. It starts there. If you haven't done that today, we want to offer you that chance as we stand and as we sing.